All right, amigos, welcome back. And part of what I want to talk about, in addition to the National Day of Prayer being tomorrow, May Day, is how people use just wild, wild accusations and insults against people of faith, right? Whether it's, you know, people like me that believe in Jesus, or people like others that are Jewish, you know, they just are insensitive towards Muslims. I think there is a genuine insensitivity against, I believe, all people of faith. It's almost taboo in many parts of the world, sadly. And I think we need a resurgence of people of faith. I think, you know, I know I, for myself, need to be better at adhering to my own faith every single day. And I think that's part of the process, right? Is that continual grace we have to have for ourselves. But by and large, I think it's a bad thing for the media, for political opponents, for anybody to just claim that everybody they don't like is Hitler. But yet, this is what they do, and they do it so often. And our friend from Newsweek, Batya Unger Sargon, she was on the news the other day, and she had something really interesting to say. And I want you to listen to this. Check this out.
And a person who half my family was murdered by the actual Hitler, you know, in addition to it being deeply offensive to Jews, to call Trump Hitler is to call over 80 million Americans, 35% of Jewish Americans, 56% of Hispanic men, and the majority of Americans who make under $100,000 a year, Nazis, because those are the people who gave Donald Trump his victory. And I just have a pro tip for any Democrats who are thinking about winning back the working class, those people who make under $100,000 a year, who a majority of whom voted for Trump, you should have a visceral disgust for someone like Larry David, who's worth $400 million, sitting there and sneering and smearing the hardest working Americans for refusing to co-sign their own disinheritance. That's effectively what they are doing when these millionaires come out here and call Trump Hitler. They are calling working class Americans Nazis because they chose the person they thought would give their children back the future they were promised by this country.
I think that was really well put, and it's something that we just don't hear enough about, right? People just calling people out for their, I'm going to use the word probably quite generously, insensitivity towards people of faith. And to get some reaction to that and a couple of other topics, I want to bring in the executive vice president of the Coalition for Jewish Values, Rabbi Yaakov Menken. Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's my pleasure. When you hear the clip of audio you just heard, what comes to mind?
Well, I think she was just saying it as it really is. I mean, it's a very unfortunate stage we've reached in American dialogue where you can just toss out the term, this guy is Hitler, this guy is a Nazi. When you are looking for actual Nazis, look at the Hamas terror organization. The key determinant of what makes Nazis, of course, was their desire for genocide, their belief that genocide was a good thing. The fact that he wanted to dominate the world, there's a lot of people who wanted to dominate the world. They didn't make the Nazis unique. Either the fact that he wanted to run the country, or he thought his country is better than others, he thought his race is better than others, lots of people thought that. But the fact that he was a genocidal barbarian, that's what sets him apart. I don't hear any of the people in American politics being called Nazis who qualify. Hamas does qualify. They want the genocide of the Jews, the same way that Hitler did. They are actual Nazis. To call an American politician a Nazi just dumbs down the whole thing. And that's shameful, and it really does cause us to not address actual hate.
And, you know, Rabbi, I think, you know, it's obvious, but I think it's worth mentioning. It also trivializes the brutality of how six and a half million Jews were murdered during the Holocaust if we just call everybody Hitler or a Nazi.
I am absolutely with you. I think trivializes the right word. I, you know, I said dumbing it down, but I was looking for that word, and I appreciate you using it because that's exactly the point. When you take people who don't even remotely qualify as that level of demonic evil and you call them that, it actually trivializes, nullifies the actual evil that they're trying to compare this person to. And I would, there's nobody on politics in America that I would compare to Hitler, not on either side. It's completely inappropriate.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And with regard to what's going on with the war versus Hamas, the IDF versus Hamas in Gaza, there's continual talk of peace. There's continual talk of people going back on their word. The Hamas terrorist is not keeping their end of the deal. And I don't know. You know, I'm getting Gaza fatigue, if you will, right? I don't know what to expect anymore. My hope is that we'll achieve some level of peace, but I don't trust the terrorists involved. I feel like they're in it to win it, right? They're willing to put their life on the line, whatever that looks like. And when you have people like that that are that committed, and it goes into the youngest ages, you know, some of these, I've seen crazy videos of very young children that are equally as committed. It kind of leads me to believe, I don't know that you're ever going to get to a place of peace. What do you think?
The only way to get to a place of peace is to denazify the place, the same way they had to do it to Germany. Banned the Nazi Party, banned that sort of instruction, banned the belief system. Until you do that, until you admit that radical Islam is itself the difference. We talk a lot about religious freedom. You talked about the day of prayer. Not all religious belief systems are created equal. If someone has a religious belief system that incorporates the belief that everybody else is inferior, we can kill them, and we should subdue them, and we should commit genocide against them, That's a belief system that endangers everybody else. And we have to stop pretending that that's okay. And, of course, that's exactly what radical Islam stands for. The reason why you're getting, you know, everything goes backwards in Gaza is because Hamas is genocidal. Hamas lies for a living. I mean, there's no untruth they won't tell. They are extortionists. They are kidnappers. They're holding people for ransom at a global scale. So don't wonder that they're not going to live up to their deals.
I'm with you there. It is no surprise that we can't come up with a deal with people that are taking old people and children hostage. Amigos, we're coming right back with Rabbi Yaakov Menken, Executive VP of the Coalition for Jewish Values. Don't go anywhere. I'm Rich Valdez.
God bless you, because literally I think you represent, you know, the new voice of America. What you say is what people are listening to.
America at Night with Rich Valdez.
All right, amigos, a couple of quick things. That voice you just heard, that was Congresswoman Beth Van Dyne. Keep an eye out for a video interview that we did. It's on YouTube, and a really great conversation. So take a look at that. Plus, we've got the National Day of Prayer tomorrow. We're going to continue our discussion with our guest momentarily. Plus, the wacky, crazy stories that I don't want to mention in front of the rabbi because I'd be embarrassed to talk about them. But one of them has to do with yoga and not a lot of clothes. Maybe I gave away too much. We're going to talk about that and your thoughts and calls on that. 833-482-5337. But first, I want you to hear this clip of audio because a federal judge has released someone that was advocating and defending pro Hamas demonstrations on the United States, and he's now been released by a judge. Listen to this.
Badawi had been in custody since April 14th. He is a student at Columbia University and a leader of pro-Palestinian demonstrations on the campus. Now, his arrest set off protests who said that he was targeted for his anti-Israeli stance. According to court documents, the Trump administration felt that his presence and activities would have serious foreign policy consequences. Badawi's attorneys argued that he was detained for advocating for Palestinian human rights. Now, he was greeted by supporters this morning outside of the Vermont facility where he was being held and said that he told the crowd he'd never lost his faith in his belief that he would get released.
Unshakable beliefs, which is the belief that justice is inevitable. We will not fear anyone because our fight is a fight for love, is a fight for democracy, is a fight for humanity.
Now, the government argues that Madawi's detention is a constitutionally valid aspect of the deportation process and that courts are barred from hearing challenges. In the decision this morning, the judge issued an order barring the government from removing Madawi from the state or the country.
I'm going to take a wild guess here and make a $0 bet that this man will not be in the United States very much longer. This is a futile effort to try and get some attention to something that maybe some civil libertarians think is the right thing to argue for. But I'm going to say when it comes to national security, you're probably going to lose each and every time. Now, if they see a trend where, you know, everybody and their mama is getting kicked out in the name of national security, then somebody's going to raise an eyebrow. But as long as it's people that are, you know, birds of a feather flocking together, I think we're going to do pretty well there. And I want to get some reaction to this. Mohsen Madawi, 34-year-old permanent resident of the United States, raised in a refugee camp in the West Bank, and he was detained April 14th during a naturalization interview in Vermont to become a citizen. He was arrested initially because he was involved in one of the very violent protests at Columbia University. It put students at risk, Jewish students at risk, Columbia staff. One Columbia staff member, a janitor, was held hostage, and somebody went to jail for that. I mean, this was not a peaceful protest, not even fiery, but peaceful. This was not even a riot. This was a takeover of a college campus where at least one person was held hostage. And that's not something we should be allowing. That's not free speech. The left likes to say, oh my gosh, that's free speech, right? Remember when people were robbing things and looting things and breaking into big department stores and taking TVs under their arm, and AOC, all out crazy, my least favorite congresswoman from the Bronx and Queens, said, oh, well, they're probably hungry. They're probably trying to feed their family, right? Or this man who's, you know, advocating for terrorists and they're saying, well, these are his free speech rights. They're beating him up because of his faith. No, they're not beating him up because of his faith. They're beating him up because he's been radicalized to be pro-terrorist. There's plenty of Muslims out there that are not in danger of getting deported or going to jail, or they're not trying to kill Jews. But when you are a Islamist, a militant radical one, this is what happens. And if the United States government feels like they can deport you because you're a threat to this nation, who are we to stop them? Anyway, I want to get some reaction to this from our guest. We return to the conversation with Rabbi Yaakov Menken, Executive Vice President of the Coalition for Jewish Values. Rabbi, when you hear about this story about Mr. Madawi, your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's amazing to listen to that. He's pro-Palestinian, advocating for Palestinian human rights. They dress it all up in this lovely terminology. The fact of the matter is, he's a violent thug. He was, together with Mahmoud Khalil, these are the guys who created the so-called Palestinian Student Union that took over the buildings, damaged Hamilton Hall, prevented Jewish students from getting to class, vandalized the buildings that they were taking over. This is who they are. So they were committing criminal acts, vandalism, civil rights violations against Jewish students, not letting them get to class. These are not people you need in the country. A person who comes into the country, even if they have a green card, citizenship is not a guarantee. It's not a entitlement. You have to earn it. And you have to, when you apply for a visa, you have to fulfill the terms of your visa. If you're here to study, you're not here to take over buildings. If you're here to explore getting a degree, you're not here to prevent other people from getting to class. If you commit those sort of acts, America has every right to boot you out, because we don't need uncivilized people. Most of the world, what people don't realize is that even today, most of the world lives under a totalitarian dictator. The entire population of China lives under totalitarian dictatorship. Most people, and in fact most countries, most of the UN is comprised of barbarian dictators pretending that they believe in democracy. And that, we don't need the advocates for that sort of life taking away American freedoms from Americans.
Yeah, well, listen, you're preaching to the choir here. I'm with you on this one, Rabbi. I believe the executive branch has a duty and a responsibility to do this. And like so many other duties, right, just like the ability to arrest someone that the police have, you have to use whatever power and authority that you have very wisely, very judiciously. And I think that's the expectation that the people have. And they want to have certain due process rights. And that's why people flip out if they think that their due process rights were violated. In a case like this, you get a lot less due process rights because you are considered a threat to the country and whatnot. But ultimately, I don't have the genetic fortitude, the gall, to go to a different country and do what these people are doing. I don't have it. You're not going to find me in France or Lebanon or anywhere else leading a protest, against the people there. Just, I don't think that's going to happen. So in my opinion, if you're doing that here, it's because you have a very specific intention to do that here. And that for one tells me that this disrupts the balance of power, the norms that we experience and enjoy here in the United States.
You look at the way demonstrations are being conducted by these groups, and it's entirely different than what is allowed and culturally something that we Americans are used to. I remember when I was a college student, Christian leader of the Moral Majority, Jerry Falwell, came to speak on campus. And cool. And when he spoke, there were certainly people who completely disapproved and disagreed with what he was saying. And they stood up and silently faced the back of the room. It was obnoxious. It was disrespectful. But it didn't interfere with anybody else's ability to hear the speaker. You see, freedom of speech is only valuable if you value it in others. If you believe others should have the right to mouth on their own dime, maybe, don't bring it to my campus, do it wherever. But, you know, if you're going to have a speaker, you're going to let the speaker speak. Even if you disapprove. Face the back of the room, that's fine. But you don't shout him down. You don't prevent him from speaking. And that's what's become normalized in America. There is no precedent for that in American society. In fact, there's no precedent for that in European society, except it is how you turn a democracy into a totalitarian dictatorship. You shout mm-hmm. down the opposition. You prevent them from talking. Why do we know that? Because that's what the Nazis did. These kids on campus shouting down speakers, making sure only one voice gets heard, they're duplicating the tactics of the Nazi youth. Yeah. There is an entirely appropriate Holocaust comparison, because their behavior, you know, they're yelling Nazi at other people. They're the ones who are actually duplicating the conduct of actual Nazis.
Rabbi Yaakov Menken, Executive Vice President of the Coalition for Jewish Values. Let everybody know how they could learn more about the coalition and how they can follow you.
So we're active on social media at CJ Values. I am at Y Menken, YMENKEN, at CJ Values, Coalition Jewish Values, and of course, coalitionforjewishvalues.org. we cover the gamut of values issues, fighting for basic civil rights and fighting anti-Semitism is only a part of what we do. We invite your readers to come learn more.
Outstanding. Rabbi, thank you for joining us. I wish you a very blessed National Day of Prayer. Godspeed to you and all the work you're doing to fight anti-Semitism. And I hope to speak with you again soon. Take care.
Thanks so much. Have a great night.
You bet. God bless.